Powered through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
We are live from T-Mobile Park, joined right now by Cal Raleigh. Cal, is it ever kind of weird? It's not like this is your first time looking down at the park. Is it ever kind of weird to look down from our view right here and see home plate right now covered by a tarp and think like, oh, I helped send us to the playoffs there. Like, that's where I hit the biggest home run in franchise history.
It is a little weird kind of sitting up here and seeing this view and, you know, you get so used to being behind the plate or
fans
and you get your whole routine and schedule and you kind of forget sometimes how fans or even media people kind of sit up here and watch.
Yeah.
Different start of the year for you this year, right? You're the guy behind the plate. You've had many moments here and on the road. Just how does it feel coming into the season, having an established role and knowing that you're going to help this team make another run to the playoffs?
Yeah, I know we're all excited. You know, I've spent a lot of this offseason getting ready and talking with guys and just excited about camp. And I think we're all excited to get going. And it's going to be a fun year. And, you know, like I said, really looking forward to camp. We got a bunch of new guys, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun kind of getting to know them. And they're going to bring a lot to the table, you know, being in the league for a while and kind of knowing the ins and outs, and we're really looking forward to it.
Do you have any hijinks planned for like initiating them to the team?
No bullying. No hijinks. No. I don't think I'm on that level yet. So.
You think like maybe like you're too young. Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, what do you mean? Oh, okay. So you're like, I don't want to overstep my bounds. I'm going to wait until I'm a little older before I start welcoming people with pranks. Have you reached out to either Colton, Teoscar, and talked to them a bit?
Yeah, I reached out when we first got them and kind of introduced myself, just, you know, saying happy we have them, really looking forward to it. And they've both been great, you know. I've heard great things about both of them. And, you know, I know they're great players, but they're, you know, great people too from what I've heard. Yeah. So we're really looking forward to it. And camp will be fun.
Kyle, I used to play with a guy in college who was just the coolest dude off the field. But when he got on the field, he flipped a switch and something happened to him. I didn't even know who he was. It's probably my third time interviewing you. We did for the 12 flag raiser, and you're chill. But word on the street is you get behind that plate and something ain't going right, you're not afraid to bark at these dudes.
We've heard other things, Kyle.
Is that always been a part of your game?
Yeah, I mean, I you know, a lot of people say I'm chill, kind of. Just kind of do my own thing, and I think so too. You know, I just kind of like hanging out with the guys and just kind of being mellow. So, but, you know, once the lights turn on, it's go time, you know. Somebody's trying to take your lunch money. So
I like it.
It's all fun and games till it gets going, and, you know, I have a, you know, competitive drive, and I want to win, and I know everybody here does, and I think that's something common we have in the clubhouse.
Hey, tell us a bit about the relationship between catcher and pitcher. How do you view I guess I'm not asking about individual pitchers, but how do you view your role in the development and the performance for all these guys?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously being a battery and, you know, seeing all these guys and kind of knowing these guys for a couple of years now, I think it's huge. So it takes time to kind of build that relationship and that trust and all those things. And, you know, now I've seen some of these guys for a few years, guys are starting to come up and mm-hmm. I'm starting to come up, it's a lot of fun and kind of just even where I was at this point last year to where I am now, just knowing that I can have that communication and I can talk to these guys and, you know, it's not like, oh, I don't know if I can talk to Marco or Robbie or what I can say. And now it's like, you know, I can full on, you know, tell them what I see, how I feel, what I see from them. And it's the same thing. It's a give and take. And they tell me the same thing. And I think it's just something you have to earn over 162, and, you know, it's not easy, but it takes time. But, you know, we're still learning. We still want to get better.
People see the Cal of today, which I love. But there was a time where I think you went like 2 for 24 or something like that, and you were sitting down and brought back up. What was that like? And what did you change something about your approach to the game or practice or something that allowed you to kind of build to where you are today?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't easy. Obviously, getting sent down, you know, it's never happened to me. It wasn't easy. It kind of stunk. So, But just knowing that you have to make adjustments, and this game's not easy, and it doesn't matter who you are, it'll come back and kick you in the butt, and you can't take anything for granted. So just making a little bit of physical adjustments on my stride, and you know, most of it was mental though, just kind of knowing you know, where I'm at, and you know, what I can do to help the team, and not trying to do too much. I think, you know, you come up to the big leagues and you want to be the guy, you want to hit home runs, you want to do all these things, and you know, sometimes you gotta, you know, get
not be that dude.
Yeah, get kicked down, or and kind of understand. You know, I have to make some adjustments, and you know, I have to let the game come to me. And I think that was a big thing for me, is just kind of letting the game come to me, play the game. Don't try to do too much. Just take what the game's given you.
So. If you have to rewind maybe a year in your development where you're not as established, which pitcher were you most nervous about the first time going up and being like, hey, you got to fix this, or like, this isn't working?
Yeah.
Like, what's the most nervous you've ever been when you were like, I can't believe I'm doing this. You got to do it, Cal. You got to do it. I can't believe I'm doing this. Right. You're walking up to the mound and you're like, I'm really about to tell this guy.
Right. You know, it's hard when you're a young catcher and you see things and, you know, trying to figure out, and you got a veteran on the mound that's been there 10 years or whatever it might be. And, you know, guys like Marco, guys like Robbie, those are guys, like, even last year, it was tough having a conversation with them because, you know, I don't want to overstep.
Yeah.
I don't want to act like I know everything. I don't want to be this or that. But at the same time, you know, you want to help these guys and you want to tell them what you see. And that's what they want too. They want to get better. They want to hear the truth. And, you know, once I kind of got over that kind of hump, and, you know, I think we all have the same goal. We want to win. And, you know, we want the best for each and every player. And I want each pitcher to go out there and throw 9 innings every time. But,
yeah.
As soon as we got over that hump, I think it was a lot easier. And once we had that kind of common goal, it was started rolling.
Was it one of those things where, like, you walk away and you're like, oh, that was easier than I thought? Like, Robbie was actually really cool about it.
Yeah, Robbie's just one of the boys. So he's awesome. He's really easy to talk to. And obviously with him winning a Cy Young, being around the league for a long time, I've learned a bunch from him. And he's been great for our clubhouse. He's been awesome. And, you know, our whole – you know, Marco's been great. Logan, George, Flex, all those guys. It's been really fun to work with that staff and the bullpen. You know, we all know their story. They're great, and they've overcome a lot, and they've been really huge for us.
Well, you guys ended the drought last year. Now that's over. Don't have to hear about that anymore. But there's some real expectations, which I think is fun, man, because for a lot of years there weren't expectations for this organization. It's kind of just go out there and see what happens. But you got guys like you coming back, Ty, JP, Julio, you add Tao. What's the feel of this team? You know, I know as athletes, you always go out expecting to win. You never go out just to play. You want to win. But is there a bit more intensity surrounding you guys, knowing that you have a core group that can do something special and really make a run at this?
Yeah. I mean, walking in today, just from walking in from the hotel and seeing the stadium and kind of go out on the field, it kind of gave me goosebumps just walking out here again and knowing that baseball season's almost back. And, you know, people always say, you know, high expectations is a bad thing. But, you know, I think it's a good thing. You want to have that target on your back. You want to be a good team, and that's what we want to do. We want to be one of the best teams, and if you're going to do that, you got to go in day out and day in, day out and do that. So we're really excited about this year. We know it's a long season. It's 162, but we just got to take it one game at a time. Yeah. You know, do it like we did last year. The past 2 years have been great, but we're just trying to build off that. We know we got to make up some ground, and we know our division got better as well. So we're really looking forward to it, and with us adding some guys and guys getting a little older, I think it's going to help us.
You completely took off at the plate this year. What were you talked about, you know, making some adjustments. You said a lot of it was mental, but you did do some things. Was there anything with your swing or stance? I mean, was there any one particular change you made this year with your approach at the plate that you felt made a difference?
Yeah, I think just trying to square the ball up. You know, sometimes, you know, you've heard of guys when they get in slumps, they try to hit an 8-run home run. It's not a thing.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do that every time. So just trying to square the ball up. The pitching's so good at this level. Guys are throwing so hard. The stuff's so nasty and they're hitting their spots. You can't try to launch every time or try to hit a home run every time. You just got to, you know, you got to try to square the ball up. You just try to make good contact, and that's really all you can do. You know, you swing at good pitches and try to make hard contact, it's simple. And then the rest takes care of itself. And this year with the shift being banned, I think it's going to help a lot of hitters as well. Yeah. So, but yeah, just trying to square the ball up, not do too much with it, and just trying to play the game the right way.
You battled through some injuries last year, especially towards the end of the season. You caught, 18 innings with a jacked up thumb. How's the body feeling going into spring training?
It's feeling a lot better than it was then. So, it feels good. I had the surgery on the thumb. It went great. Doctors are very happy with where it's at, and training staff, they've all been involved as well. And finishing up my rehab, and started swinging, caught my first bullpen yesterday.
Nice.
And yeah, it feels great. And yeah, we're going to keep making sure that we build up for camp.
Nice. We've already gotten a couple questions about this particular pitcher who maybe no one more than you knows, which is Logan Gilbert. Someone said, tell us about Walter on the mound. I mean, something tells me too, Cal, that you are a little less afraid to go up to Logan and tell him what you think versus maybe someone who's a little older. You guys are close, right?
Yeah, I'd say we're about as close as it gets. Roommates for basically the past 5 years, ever since we got into the org in 2018.
Yeah.
I feel like everywhere we've been in the same room, and you know, I was in his wedding this past year, and unfortunately he's kicking me out this year for his wife.
Wow.
I know.
The audacity.
How dare you.
Well, how's that affect that relationship between catcher and pitcher? I mean, just tell us a bit about, like, hey, you know, this is how it's altered that relationship, but also, like, this is kind of what I see from him, because now you get a chance to be a little nicer about Logan.
Right. No, Logan's great. You know, there's not a guy that I know that comes to the field and works as hard as he does.
All right, let's get to Four Down Territory.
This is Four Down Territory, going inside the game. What former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down bump. Sean Payton is headed to Denver with Russell, but not without giving plenty for the second year in a row. You called Seattle fans bargain shoppers. How would you describe Denver?
Seattle, we bargain shop, thrift shop over here. It's all good. Recycle that wardrobe. But over there in Denver, they are compulsive shoppers. They are just saying, look, I want it. I'm going to go
put
get it.
Put it on the credit card.
I don't care what it costs. What's the interest rate on this credit card? It does not matter, man. So now we're going to see if that approach is going to work for them. I'm starting to believe that it has a real chance, right? You get Sean Payton over there. You match him up with Russell Wilson. You think that Russell's going to humble himself and say, look, I'm going to follow the lead of this man who's been doing this in the league for a very long time. But Denver over there, man, they just don't care. And I kind of respect it, but it kind of scares me at the same time, because I'm the dude who looks at his order or his cart and say, do I really want this? I'll look at that cart for like 2 or 3 days before I push the button and say, boom, okay, I got to go get that. Not the Denver Broncos. They're looking at that cart and say, yeah, put some more in there. We need a couple more. Go get it. So it's just different styles, man. And over here, we're concerned about paying Geno $30 million. People saying that's too much. Over there, they do not care. We'll see how it works out for them. But it's just fun to see just the difference in approaches when it comes to spending money in the league.
I respect Denver's approach. Once I found out that on Uber Eats, you could have two simultaneous orders, game changer. Order dessert and dinner at the same time. Done. Spending. Second down. All right, well, let's stick on this topic. What's going to be the biggest challenge for Sean Payton with the Broncos?
Nathaniel Hackett didn't create any type of culture for the Denver Broncos. So, one, that's going to be task number one, developing a culture. And how do you do that? You start by holding the man who gets paid the most accountable. We all know the rumors about what Russell Wilson was demanding, what he wanted on office, all that stuff over there. Sean Payton has to come in and say, no, this is not how we do it. This is how I do it. I've done this for 15, 16 years. I won a Super Bowl. I've been extremely successful when it comes to running an offense. And now it's developing a relationship with Russell Wilson. 15 seasons with Drew Brees, 142 victories, 98 in the postseason, 80,000 yards, 571 touchdowns. Like, these guys have chemistry, and chemistry is big. Every successful coach is connected to a quarterback. Every quarterback is connected to a coach. Talk about all the greats. You got Joe Montana's connected to Walsh. You got Ben Roethlisberger connected to Tomlin. You got Pat Mahomes is going to be connected to Andy Reid. Peyton is, well, he got a couple guys. But for the most part, coaches are connected to quarterbacks. Quarterbacks are connected to coaches. Can he change the culture over there and develop some chemistry with Russell Wilson? Personalities matter, man. And I see Russell Wilson as a personality that isn't difficult to necessarily like, but get along with. You know, like, can he bring his guards down and just be vulnerable and just be 100% with Peyton, because I think that's what Peyton's going to do with him.
What do you think is going to have to be the key on connecting with Russell Wilson? You know Russell Wilson well. I mean, you cover, not you're not like friends, but you covered this guy for years, for most of his career here in Seattle. From what you know about Russ, what's going to have to be the thing that these two connect on?
Man, wanting to win. Yep. That's what they want to do. We know Russell loves his legacy. He wants to win, and he's all about winning. We cannot deny that. That's where they come together. Peyton Manning goes, you want to win? It's not Peyton Manning. Sorry. Sean Payton goes, you want to win?
See,
this
I told
is how you,
there's
you
too
win.
Many Paytons. I've already too said there are too many Paytons. It's going to get confusing. Third down. You begged former 49ers defensive coordinator D'Amico Ryans not to go to Houston as their new head coach. D'Amico, I thought, was a listener of the show.
I thought
but
he was, too.
He didn't hear you. Why do you think he did what he did, and what does he have to work with over there?
You know what? During my bachelor party back in 2008.
What a year.
What a year. What a time year. To be alive.
Truly.
My guy Alex Brink, who was on the Texans at the time, comes over and he goes, man, this guy D'Amico Ryans they just drafted is a baller, man.
He was.
He is filthy. So then I go back and I think, okay, well, that's where the connection starts. He played 6 out of his 10 years with the Houston Texans, so he feels familiar with these guys. But it's going to come down to what he does and what he has over there. Right. You have a connection. You built that connection over the years. You have an opportunity. I understand an alpha male wanting to lead and have that opportunity. But now it comes down to what you have. What do you have? You have 11 picks in this draft coming up.
Yeah.
You have to hit. All right. You got the second overall pick. You got the 12th overall pick, the 33rd, the 65th, the 73rd. And you have 1-4th, 1-5th, and 4-6th. You have to hit. You got to have like a Seattle Seahawks type draft when it comes to these picks. What does he have left over there? You got Pierce, the running back, who was banged up. He went for 939, 4 touchdowns. Brandon Cooks has been asking to be traded because he didn't want to be part of a rebuild. That's a receiver over there. He had 690-something yards and 3 touchdowns. You also have Jerry Hughes, who's a 34-year-old man over there. He led the team in sacks with 9. So you have picks, you have a history, and you have a few guys coming back. I just hope the Houston Texans give this guy more than 1 or 2 years and say, you got to fix it right now. Because this is more than a 1 or 2 year project. This guy has a lot to figure out. But why did he go over there? I think he looked at it. Look, they gave me a 6-year deal. 6 years really means like 3 or 4 in the NFL. All right, look, these guys gave me an opportunity in the league. I played 6 years over here, 6 great years over here. And now they're going to give me the freedom to do what I want with these picks. I didn't want him to do it, but now that he's there, I shall support the man and hope that he figures it out.
True or false? He loses his job if they don't make the playoffs in 3 years.
True. Out of there. Especially if they go and get like Bryce Young or somebody at quarterback. Yeah, he's gone.
Fourth down. The NFL stands for National Football League. Just kidding. It stands for No Fun League. What's another example of the NFL being the No Fun League?
NFL. Get it right every once in a while. Jamal Williams, 17 rushing touchdowns, led the league last year, gets fined for a celebration that he does. And if I can describe it to you, this is what he does. He puts his hands in the air. And
Like
he just don't care. Then he like rolls his hips. Like we're dancing. Like you can do this dance at your grandma Barber's daughter's wedding and grandma Barber's not going to trip. There's nothing wrong with this dance. He's just sitting there rolling the hips. But they fine him for it, but then they use that clip in promotions. It's like, you can't fine the man, then use it in promotions. Come on, NFL, man. Jamal Williams is a personality that you want to highlight in this league. People love this dude. You love the interactions. You love the interviews. But then you fine him for celebrating. Then you use the celebration in promos. Come on, NFL.
Remember when the NFL for the longest time was like, stop celebrating touchdowns. We're going to start fining people for doing this. But then they did the Bud Light Celly, and they were like, as soon as they got a sponsorship for celebrations, they were like, actually, you should definitely celebrate touchdowns. And then they turned it into like, actually, we're going to fine you if you taunt after you celebrate touchdowns. All right, let's see what's on tap.
This is What's on Tap with Bump and Stacey, brought to you by Dick's Drive-In. So, folks, what's on tap?
Washington taking on number 9 UCLA tomorrow at 6 p.m. Scott Service joins us next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacey,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
This hour of Bump and Stacey brought to you by Mazda of Everett. We are with the skipper, Scott Service, joining us right now. Scott, we talked with you all season long. This is the first time actually sitting down with you, hanging out. I mean, does it feel like you're just chilling with old friends?
Well, you're chilling up here in the press box. No, I'm not usually chilling. I'm down in the dugout.
True, but, yeah. You're doing a job.
Yeah, no, it's great. Certainly time to reflect on things that happened last year, but more importantly, looking ahead.
Yeah.
You know, what's ahead of us here in 2023? And we're excited about that. I know the expectations, kind of the energy around town about our team, about the organization and where we're headed is great. It's very high, and it's exactly what we're hoping for.
Yeah.
Well, we got a chance to talk to Teoscar today. And before we got on, you mentioned he's just a pro. Like the way he walks in, the way he sits, the eye contact, the smile, it makes sense. It feels like he's going to fit in perfectly, but it also brings like a calm maturity to the situation as well. How do you think that's going to rub off on this team?
I think that it goes very, very far. Certainly with our, the core of our team is very young yet. I think people, you know, you're talking about Julio, Cal, even JP, you know, a younger guy, Ty's been around now a couple years, but you know, having somebody like Teoscar, that's been a big time producer, middle of the lineup, you know, the Blue Jays had one of the better offensive teams last year in the last few years, and he's been a big driver for that for him. So, you know, seeing his presence, how he's handled himself today in front of the media, talking to you guys, I couldn't be any more excited to have him a part of our team. It's really going to help a lot of our players.
It feels like, you know, I don't mean to mention again that we've talked to you, but I am comparing two different Scotts, and maybe you don't feel like two different Scotts, but I feel like I sense, you know, this year, and whether it's the conversation you had yesterday with Wyman and Bob or whether earlier today in the Mariners media luncheon, that there's almost like a more competitive kind of serious tone, but also like a that you really care about this team and you believe in this team and have high expectations. And I'm sure you did last year. I feel like I really sense it this year. I mean, what's the feeling for you personally, well, as a manager heading into 2023?
First of all, organizationally, we took a major step forward last year.
Yes.
And, you know, I'll just say, getting the monkey off our back, you know, it's been so long since we've been in the playoffs. So, you know, when you accomplish something like that, there's certainly going to be more confidence, not just in myself, but our team, you know, around our team and how we do things and why we do things.
It's a better way to say it.
Yeah. It's a fun group to be around. I think the fans that come out and watch us play or follow us on television or radio feel it. They feel the you know, kind of the joy, and not just Julio, but our team has a good time. Whether it's Gino, it's JP, it's Ty, it's the big dumper personality. You know, it's kind of all come together, and that's the beauty of baseball. You know, you take all these different backgrounds that these players have and their different points of their career, but can you gel them all together and hopefully, you know, move forward for one common goal? And that's what we are able to do here. So I am excited about our team, and the expectations are high. And that excites me even more because, like, that's what you play for. So you come to spring training every year and you have a chance to win the World Series. And I really believe we've got that type of team.
You talk about the team getting them to gel together. I've never been on a good team where the coaching staff didn't reflect that as well. What's it like with you and the coaching staff? What do you guys do? Do you guys hang out during the off season? Is it kind of just business? It goes your ways. You meet up every now and then. How do you guys gel together like this, like the players do?
I think it's a great, great point, Bump. And players, yeah, I've said it for a long, long time. You can't, you know, BS the players. Players know. They do, and they know if you're speaking truth or it's from the heart when you're talking about them, or how you're interacting with your coaching staff, the front office, the analysts, players know. And, you know, you talk about our coaching staff. We are a very close-knit group. We are very diverse from experience levels to backgrounds to whatnot, and I think that's what makes our coaching staff good. I said it yesterday. I was talking to a group. I never want to have six or seven other coaches like me. That'd be terrible. It'd be the most boring group ever, you know. So bringing, you know, guys that have different backgrounds and can relate to different groups of players is critical. And our coaching staff has come together, and part of it is, you know, we celebrate the wins. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to win. And, you know, whether, you know, it's such a long season and, you know, you're hoping to win 100 games out of 162. That's an awesome year in baseball. But, you know, we have a little celebration. We started about a year and a half ago. And it's funny, the players, they're like, what's going on in the coach's room? Like, you know, we do this little toast thing after a win. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, the players start doing something, which is perfect. That's the way it should be. You need to celebrate the wins. And this group really does. They enjoy coming to work together every day. And, you know, when you accomplish something on a given night, you want to, you know, hit on it. And our guys do a great job with it.
you obviously have been in locker rooms and know this. You've been a manager. I'm curious, in baseball, are managers typically like, I want the players to figure it out? Or is that a personal approach you've taken?
No, I think, you know, in any professional sport, again, I'm around baseball, but football, it like your standards, you know, the coach can kind of like put it out there. Here's what we're about, and here's what we're gonna, how we're going to go about our work. But it ultimately doesn't really resonate until the players start holding each other accountable based on how they're going about their work. And are you showing up on time? And are you prepared, you know, when you do come to practice or to work every day? And when the players start holding each other accountable, then you can go to the next level. It's if it's just on me or the coaching staff to try to motivate guys or to get them in the right, it's not going to last.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable over a long period of time. It may work for a week or two, but I think what we've seen now, we've seen players that are proud to wear Seattle Mariners uniforms. They've come through our system. Some of the guys we've traded for that have come in and kind of put their arms around our environment and our culture and made it better. Gino Suarez has added a lot to our team. You know what I mean? And it's much different than I thought it was going to be when I first met Gino. But just kind of his calming presence, along with being a smile on his face and the good vibes only dude, it has worked. And it's really rubbed off on a lot of our guys. So I do think it's on the players. You want the players to hold each other accountable. And, you know, as much as it is my job to lead the group and whatnot, the players play the game. I don't throw a pitch. I don't swing the bat. You just try to put them in positions to have success. And we're having some success right now.
Scott, we did a segment earlier on who are the leaders of this team. Mm-hmm. And naturally, the first person I thought about was the youngest guy on the team. I go, well, he's one of the faces. He's getting paid a lot. With that responsibility, have you had conversations with Gino about how what this means for him to be one of the clear-cut leaders of this team and what that investment means and just what's ahead of him? Because he's young. You know, he's 22, not a lot of life experience.
Yeah, Julio is young, and there's no question about it. I think any team I've been on, there's never been one guy that's the leader. Mm-hmm. It's a group of guys. It's probably four or five guys. And of those four or five guys, you know, you might have one or two that are more quieter, lead-by-example guys, but eventually somebody's got to talk. Somebody's got to be comfortable addressing the group and the room and whatnot. And, you know, Julio certainly got that in him. We're starting to see that come out a little bit, but he's learning a lot. He's learning a lot from, you know, the veteran guys that he's been exposed to. So getting the right veterans in here around him is critical for our future, not just this year, but going forward, you know, that our young players are exposed to the right veteran guys. And that's why I'm so excited about Teoscar Hernandez. This guy's been to the playoffs. He's been on winning teams. He's been on, now this will be his third organization. Like he gets it. He's been around and he's got it. You can feel it. He's calm. Just talking to him, you know, he's going to add a lot to our team.
We are all, as our listeners, very excited to see this team, and we're going to be hearing about the team starting not long from now. What, 2 weeks away from mm-hmm. pitchers and catchers? It's insane. I can't believe it's already here. He is Mariners manager Scott Servais, kind enough to join us. Thanks so much, Scott.
No problem.
Thanks,
all
Scott.
Right. What I need to know coming your way next. Get your questions in now, 866-979-3776.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
It's What I Need to Know. Get your questions in now to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. What I Need to Know is brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, Electric. What I Need to Know, would you rather want Scott Servais as your dad, coach, or insurance salesman?
Coach all day.
Coach all day.
Coach me up, coach.
Okay, so coach for sure. He doesn't give me insurance salesman vibes, but he does give dad vibes. They are strong, and they make me nervous every time. I feel like I'm talking to my dad. I will let you guys know, if you are a regular listener, I've never had a normal interview with Scott Servais in my entire life. I mess it up at least once during the interview. I will say awkward or unintentionally
offensive. And before the interviews, normally Stacy is confiding with Bump and I, and she's like, guys, I don't know if he's going to like this question.
I know. I'm so just nervous. Ask it. And just then ask it's it. Always bad. Scott Servais, I guarantee you, thinks I am an insane person. What I need to know, you are, oh my gosh, it was a question about your starting five for your all 710 basketball team. Here we go. If you were drafting a basketball team from radio hosts on 710, who's your starting five?
I'm running the point. I feel like we need a shooter, man. I don't know if we have any shooters in our deal. I think Taylor Gang might be a shooter. We got my man Curtis at the three.
Oh, right.
He's like the Charles Barkley.
Stretch four.
You know what I'm saying? At the four, I got to go Wyman.
Yeah.
Then five, we go Stelton.
What?
And then
the manager. GM of the squad is Stacy.
This is just like in seventh grade when I tried out for volleyball, and the coach pulled me into a classroom and she was like, so we don't have an additional space on the team, but I think you would be an amazing manager.
Did you accept the job?
Yes, because I was like, oh my God, I'm so good that they want me as the manager. I understand the game more than any of the players. That's so stupid. All right, what I need to know, you guys are great at ending interviews. Thank you. How do you end an interview and like make it sound good?
Dude, ending interviews is a really tough thing.
It's really difficult.
Because you're basically telling the person, I'm done speaking.
Yes. So this says, what's your go-to end a conversation thing that you don't feel like continuing?
Well, conversation is different. Conversation, I end conversation, I go, all right then.
I get real.
I'll holler at you.
I get real Southern for no reason and go, well, I'm going to let you go.
But an interview is more like you just tell the audience who that person is.
Yeah.
Well, I take one thing that they said in their final thing and then I spin it. Like if Scott Service says, well, we're really excited for our team. I go, and fans are really excited for your team, Scott. He is Scott Service. And then I say who it is. Yeah.
And then you let them say goodbye.
And then I let them say, yeah.
Or it's say thank you.
Let me tell you what. More complicated than you guys say.
Yeah,
for sure.
But with the conversation with just a regular person, I don't want to continue. It's, well, I'll let you go. I'll let you get to it.
I did.
Let me let you go.
Yeah,
Bumpsway is much better. I think I appreciate that one. If you guys were entered into a home run contest to hit one home run and each person at the station received $10 million, who are you sending up to attempt? Only one person from the station. Well, me. Who would we choose?
Justin and Brandon played community college baseball.
Yeah,
Brandon a pitcher, though?
Yeah. I think Justin was an infielder.
Justin's probably who I'm choosing.
Probably Justin.
I'd probably second go.
I'd go me.
I'd go you, Bump, or Wyman.
Yeah, throw me a fastball. I mean, fastball, I can connect on a fastball.
Yeah.
Anything moving, any movement, I ain't doing
it. I would be last, and I accept that this is my lot in life. 360, Bump, what's the greatest shoes of all time?
Greatest shoes of all time.
You got some nice ones on today.
I got the Grinches on right now. I'm going to go. I mean, it's everyone says that. It's Jordan 11s. Like, it's so popular. Everyone likes that.
I mean, it's hard to go wrong with Jordan 11.
Yeah, you know?
It's classic.
Go with Jordan 11s.
What is the best perk of having a press pass?
Getting into games for free.
Climate-controlled environments.
Yeah. Oh,
not
God.
Having to sit amongst the elements.
Let me tell you what. All right, you guys, that will do it for us today. Instead of me saying goodbye, we will be back with you guys tomorrow at 10 a.m. I do need to let you know that. I need to let you know Wyman and Bob are coming up next. Bump, you want to end the conversation for us?
All right, then. I'll holler at y'all tomorrow.
That'll do it.